But in the meantime, we are this July 25, day before Tisha B'Av. And here we go, page 27 and page 29. So just a quick review from the previous class. It says by the bold word, always let a person be God-fearing privately and publicly. Lior, do you know where we are? I don't know which Sidur or which version you have. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. I just wasn't sure which area you're in.
It's in the very, towards the very beginning by the blessings, by the morning blessings. After the 15 morning blessings. Forever. The English is there. You have the English translation right next to you. I'm just looking back because I know I sent out a...
Is it the
Kaddish? A PDF. I just don't know where the PDF is. I'm trying to find it for you. I can't find it.
Akeda?
Why they wouldn't have used it instead of always. Forever let a person be God-fearing.
Because it doesn't really make sense to say...
Oh, it's on page 17. I found it.
Oh, you got it? Okay, good. All right.
Yeah, it's at the very bottom.
Okay, so always let a person be God-fearing privately and publicly. We did this, so I'm just going to review quickly. Acknowledge the truth, speak the truth within his or one's heart, and arise early and proclaim. And this is where we're up to, Master. But let's just review this introductory line. So he said always that a person should always have in mind to be God-fearing throughout the day. And we remind ourselves at the beginning of the day. So this is a prayer we say at the beginning of the day, which is a good reminder for the day, that throughout the day, a person should be God-fearing privately and publicly. Don't be one type of person privately, another kind of person publicly, or vice versa. Speak the truth within one's heart and always acknowledge the truth and speak the truth within the heart. We talked about the story from the Talmud. We mentioned the story of Rav Safra, who was praying. Somebody wanted to buy something from him. And he was praying and he couldn't be interrupted. So the person said, hey, I'll pay you, I don't know, $100 for your chicken, whatever he had there, whatever you're. And he said, here, take the page of the pamphlet over here. See? And so he said, I'll pay $100 for the chicken. And he didn't answer because he was in the middle of praying. So the person thought, the non-Jewish person thought, that the reason why he didn't answer, he just stood there, was because the price wasn't good enough. But Rabbi Safra just kept on praying. The guy says, I'll offer you $200 for your chicken. Rabbi Safra was quiet because he just kept on praying. And Rabbi Safra kept on praying. So the guy says, okay, I'll offer you $300 for your chicken. Anyway, by the time Rabbi Safra finished praying, he was up to like about $500 or $600 for his chicken. And Rabbi Safra, the rabbi said, here's my chicken. You owe me $100. He says, no, but I offered you like whatever they were up to. He was up to already like $600. Or he says, no. The reason why I didn't answer you is because I was praying. It had nothing to do with I didn't like the price. Even though he could have made believe, the reason why I didn't answer is because I wanted a better price and it was lousy price. I'll take the $600. No, that wasn't the truth. The truth was it was for sale for $600, for $100. That's all I want. Recognizing that Hashem is the one that decides how much money we make and decides everything about a person anyway. And that's the truth. And that's what he means here. Acknowledge the truth and speak the truth within his own heart. Because I'm sure within his own heart, Rabbi Safra was going, okay, I can charge this guy $500. I won't charge him $600. I'll charge him $500. Whatever the numbers were. But no, sometimes a person in their own heart has that dilemma, has that back and forth. But he realized that would not be telling the truth. The truth is, it was for sale for 100, and that's all I'm giving, and that's what I'm selling it for, even though the person accepted to pay much more. So the truth, I'm just going to take another moment here to talk about the truth. In the court of law, ladies and gentlemen, please raise your right hand, either hold whatever, or affirm that what you're about to say is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's all about the truth. So, as I have explained here, in terms of understanding the word truth, what does truth really mean? We always talk about the truth. You tell the truth. Always tell children. Always make sure you tell the truth. Tell the truth. What is the truth? I mean, always say the truth is what really happened. But another way of looking at the truth, because sometimes a lot happens, is the word consistent. That's how I like to teach, define the word truth, being consistent. The truth has to make sense. The truth has to be consistent. You know, the people I deal with, very often I get told all kinds of stories. All kinds of stories. And not always, you know, you want to, and I always say, I believe whatever story you tell me. You want to tell me you're good? You're good. You want to tell me you're smoking? You're smoking. You're not smoking. I smoke 10 cigarettes today. I smoke only one. Whatever. It's got to be consistent. Your story needs to be, because I can pick out inconsistencies in a story like that. I go, you're not telling me the truth. And once you don't tell me the truth, that's it. You're done. I'd much rather you tell me the truth, even though it may not be something that I would like to hear, rather than tell me a lie. That's one of the other lines I think I sent out on a Friday. Leora, do you get my Friday email? You don't get my Friday email? Okay, make sure I have your email address, please. I got to get you on my list. How did that phrase go? I don't mind when you tell me a lie when I already know the truth. Something like that. Something along the, tell me all the lies you want when I already know the truth. You know, because I know the truth. You know, the truth is consistency. When a person is consistent, when a person comes to a Torah class consistently, and you know who you are, those who do, you feel different about yourself. When the people ask me, Rabbi, I understand you religious people, you go to synagogue 3 times a day, you know, yeah, we're pretty consistent. Why? And the answer is because that consistency breeds truth. Am I always in the mood of going? No. At times would I rather, oh, you know, it's a little hard today, it's a little this, it's a little that. Thank you. Yeah. But I have to be consistent. It's part of truth. I'd much rather a person tell me, you know, I believe in Shabbos. I know that there's a thing called Shabbos, but I don't keep Shabbos. No problem. That's the truth. Don't say, oh, I didn't realize that today's Saturday, that it is Saturday, but that you can't, you know, I wasn't sure that this was allowed. You grew up, you know. Tell me the truth. Shabbos, I don't keep Shabbos. No problem. It's the truth. I'm okay with that. Much rather have the truth than you tell me a story. I wasn't sure, but hide it. Arise and proclaim. So this is where we're up to. That's a little bit of a review. This catches us up to where we are. Any questions or comments so far? So just a little bit louder so that people, the speakers here. You get the same line, yeah.
I'm okay, and then there's so many okays on this musical score here, and all of a sudden, a year later comes, I'm not okay. The law is consistent. So, every time I get these sentences, I have, it might be kind of like I'm starting to just get myself immune.
Right, hopefully, right. So Herb played me a tape from somebody in Hazleton, Fred Holmquist, talks about him every so often. He actually came here and spoke in my home. He's from Hazleton, probably one of the most famous treatment centers in the United States, the Betty Ford Place. Tremendous guy, really great guy. And he had a great line. He said, when you act on a lie, you run into the truth. Mm-hmm. When you act on it sooner or later, act on a lie. You know, this happens. I was at work. I was here. Blah, blah, blah. Sooner or later, you act on a lie. You're going to run into the truth. And all of a sudden, it becomes exposed. And when something becomes exposed, then that's already like, whoa, that's already a bigger deal. And if you just would have told the truth at the beginning, just tell it. It's so much simpler. And you look back, you know, had I told the truth at the beginning, you know, it just would have been, I told the truth, that's it. But now that I upplayed everything, thanks, Brian. Now that I've been upplaying the story for who knows how long, I was acting on a lie, run into the truth. And that's not a lot of fun. That's not a lot of fun. All right, so proclaim, Denise, yes.
What if you're living your life as a lie? You haven't told anyone or no one's asked you, but you are.
Right, so very good. So everybody knows when they're living a lie. If I'm cheating on my test, that's usually like, you know, I'm cheating on my test. Who am I cheating? I'm cheating myself. Oh, I got a 90. Yeah, but I'm really cheating because I know nothing. Can you perform surgery? I cheated on my test. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing here. So when a person is continuing to lie to themselves, sure, a person can sometimes think that what they're doing is the truth because they've been living this lie for so long. That it almost to an extent becomes the truth to that particular. Denise, I'm just putting you on mute. That's what happens to people. But everybody knows internally that they're living a lie. I'll tell you one of the ways you know that you're living a lie, because living a lie actually takes energy. It takes energy to live a lie because you have to make sure nobody figures it out. It takes energy to remember and to know and to recognize. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be, you know, I'm living the lie. I've got, where's my mask? You know, somebody comes to the door. Just a minute. I got to put on my mask. You know, hi, everybody. Everything is great. So when and until the time, like I said, when you act on a lie, you run into the truth. You forget, the person forgets to put on their mask. All of a sudden, they open the front door and the person says, oh, that's what you look like. You look like you're depressed like anything. Oh, I forgot to put on my mask. You know, and unfortunately, these kinds of things happen. And a person will usually know when they are when they're living a lie. So this is what we proclaim. Denise, can you just put your hand down, please? Master of all worlds and Lord of all lords. That's a little bit of, you know, this is who I'm talking to, about, who I'm talking to. This is my prayer. I should arise early and proclaim the following. Who am I proclaiming it to? Master of all worlds and Lord of all lords, meaning it's the highest of the highest level of the highest power, whatever my highest level is. And maybe I'm working on it. You know, I don't know if I believe in God completely yet, But what's the highest level I've got so far? At least that for now. Yes.
Why all worlds? We have one world.
We have one world, but there is more out there in the galaxy.
We believe.
Yeah, well, you know, there's whatever it is. Each like the moon has its own revolutions and its own lives in a way in its own moon, in its own world within the universe. Every planet revolves around, and technically, from our perspective, we're on a planet. There are other planets. What do we know about other planets? We sent a rocket up, you know, we saw some telescopes. What do we know? We only know so much. Everybody's got their own. The other thing, by the way, no, it's a very good question. The other thing I want to point out is that sometimes people do live in their own little world. There's many people who just, you know, I'm in my own little world. So whatever number of whatever it is, that it just means the ultimate, the top, the highest level. Yes, Leo. Say it again.
Spiritual, physical world.
Right, correct. Not in the merit of our righteousness do we cast our supplication before you, but in the merit of your abundant kindness. So this is the opening statement. What am I doing here? As I say so often, this is such a beautiful prayer of humility. You know, there's sometimes that people can go to work in the morning. I'm the CEO of, or you know, the company that I use always as my example. I'm the president of UPS. I'm the president of UPS. I got a company. Can you imagine the president of UPS? What does Jeff Bezos think of when he gets up in the morning? Or what does Mark Zuckerberg? You know, these guys, you think they go master, master of all worlds and lord of all lords? You know, maybe, I don't know, I have no idea. It's possible that there are some great businessmen who think that maybe they're the master. Like, I'm the richest man on the planet, or second richest man, or depending on the stock, how it goes, maybe certain days I am the richest man. No, I'm not. No, I am. No, I'm not. It fluctuates a little bit. But there are people that their ego can rise above and makes it very difficult. And they think that everything is about me. Look what I have achieved. It's so much about me. So the first words that we utter are words of humility. That's not in the merit of our righteousness, but in the merit of your abundant mercy that we are asking to follow. Because there are people that expect, I'm a healthy guy. I expect today I'm going to be a healthy person. Until, it wasn't that long ago. I had a little crack in my tooth. So I woke up in the morning. This was fine. A little later in the day, this was cracked. Dentist, hello. Oh, come get it fixed. Baruch Hashem, it's fixed, no problem. So, small piece, small chip. So, but nobody knows what's going to happen. Everybody gets up with the assumption that everything's going to be fine until, I got a headache today. Oh, where did it come from? People in Hatzalah, maybe people get medical emergency calls. No, nobody knows when, where. You just want to know that the ambulance is available. When do you need it? Who knows? It's like insurance, right? Just ask Denise. Where's Denise? In insurance, you only need insurance when something happens. Nothing happens. Thank God. People would live forever. Nobody would die. Nobody would lead. All the life insurance people would be out of business. If nobody would get into accidents, all the car insurance people would be out of business. No one would get sick. Doctors would. So it happens. And I think everybody can recognize within themselves at one point in their life that the day I broke my bone, the day I fell down, the day I wasn't feeling, the day I got COVID, the day I, whatever it is, no one is above. So what does, there's a certain, there's a huge measure of humility here. So what does God owe me? Nothing. What do I owe Hashem? Everything. So we say, Hashem, it's not because I'm such a terrific person that I should be blessed with a day that is pain free and worry free. Not because I'm such a special person. It's because Hashem, you have such abundant kindness. But in the merit, that's what he says here, but in the merit of your abundant mercy. Because he says, what are we? What is our life? What is our kindness? What is our righteousness? What is our salvation? What is our strength? What is our might? What can we say before you, Hashem, our God, the God of our forefathers? Are not all the heroes like nothing before you? The famous as if they had never existed, the wise as if devoid of wisdom, and the perceptive as if devoid for intelligence. So just bringing out the fact, the points here. And I say this every day. And I urge everyone, this is the one I said when we did our introduction, that we're here at this point now. Hopefully everybody, you take this page, these couple of pages, say this every day. It's such a great way of starting my day. It's not about me, because who am I anyway? What's life? What's kindness? What's righteousness? What's salvation? What's my strength? What, I'm so strong? Unfortunately, it was just in the news the other day. Some TikTok guy, I guess I had a lot of followers. He was bench pressing, whatever, and somehow or another, it fell on him. The barbell fell on him and crushed him. You know, why was he doing it? A lot of times, people try to show off things on, they talk about this, on these, they challenge people on TikTok or whatever various things that they do. And, you know, swallow this or eat that or jump here. Or, and they challenge people because show your strength. I dare you. And we dare each other. Let's see if you can. And people go, sure, I'll try it. I'm going to show you. What are you anyway? And we forget. And that's what he says, what is our might? What is our strength? What is our might? What can we say before you, Hashem? Are not all the heroes like nothing before you? The famous as if they never existed, and the wise devoid of wisdom, and the perceptive as if devoid of their intelligence. From God's perspective, oh, I'm the president of UPS. What a company I have amassed. Do I really do everything? Well, not really. I'm the president, but I do have a COO. He takes care of the operations. I do have a CFO, care of all the finance. I do have a CTO, takes care of all the technology. I do have a, I don't know, whatever other letters that there are.
CMO, marketing.
Different departments that are going on in there. And the president, and I say this so often about doctors also. I go to my doctor. You a doctor? Yes, I'm a doctor. I'm kind of a GP. Great. My heart is. I don't really deal specifically with that. You need to go to a cardiologist. Oh my, and my stomach is a. You know, I'm not such a specialist in the stomach, and you have to go to a gastro. But and my foot. Oh, foot. You got to go to a podiatrist. One second. Are you a doctor? You're not. You said you're a doctor. So I'm asking you a question. Yeah, I'm a doctor. I'm a general. Like I'm the president of the company. But each one has got their specialty that I would send people out. So how much does any one individual really know? So now if I finally go to the specialist of the heart specialist, and you ask them about the eyes, or the eyes, go to an ophthalmologist. I go to an ophthalmologist to ask me about my eyes. So I can ask about my eyes so that I can do my surgery on the heart business properly. Hashem runs not only me in its entirety, me and you, but runs the planet in its entirety. I can barely grow tomatoes. I have trouble growing tomatoes. We didn't even bother this year because we had such, you know, it just didn't work. Yeah, why didn't we grow tomatoes this year? Because last year all the raccoons, the squirrels came along and ate whatever. And that's where I got that, whatever. You know, right? But Hashem runs a world. What's wrong? What'd you find?
Tomatoes.
Oh, you're looking for tomatoes? No, you won't find them. Don't find them. You're going to plant this here. And then forget about this world. Not forget about it. We got a whole universe. We talked about the world, the worlds and worlds and worlds upon worlds. What does Hashem keep? Hashem keeps track of everything. Everything works with such perfection. As I put it out there, all you climate people, please come over and let's have a chat in front of my a very special Chai family. Happy to have an open discussion. Would love to have an open discussion with anyone in climate. Because people think that we affect the climate. We do nothing. Climate change. Climate change. Hashem runs the climate. Hashem runs the world. I do nothing for climate change.
But he allows us to ruin it.
Yes, he allows us to do whatever. That's our choice. That's great. He has given us the choice. We have whatever choice we want to make.
Right.
That's
weird. We don't have a choice over outcome. We have a choice of what we do.
Yes, that's correct. That's right. Hashem always says, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense that my outcome is going to, I'm changing the whole face of the universe. I'm not changing that. I can't even change myself, let alone change. The most famous name in climate change today, this teenager, she was arrested for, she was just dragged today. She was dragged out of another thing. And she failed to show up at a court proceeding. So they're trying to get, it's like, climate, I'm such a special person. You break the law, like not everybody breaks the law, but you go ahead and break the law. Whatever, I hear the judge. I'm just telling you what we see here. Hashem runs the world. And we remember, so that's what we live, what we say here. Questions or comments so far? We're moving along. Okay, let me just get through this phrase here. So we ask all these questions. What's my might? What can we say before you, Hashem? I'm a hero. I saved the person out of the burning car right before it exploded. No, Hashem couldn't have made it explode and I died at the same time with trying to pull the guy out. Of course could. So when I pull the person out 3 seconds before the car explodes and I bring this person to safety, I'm the hero. Hashem allowed me to be the hero. Hashem allowed the scenario to take place. The wise is as if devoid of wisdom, and the perceptive is devoid of intelligence. When a person starts learning the Torah, there's so much depth to Torah learning. I'm telling you, the more I learn, the more it boggles my mind that the Torah is like quicksand. It's like a bottomless pit. There is, because spirituality has no limit. Infinite. I can't fathom. No human can fathom what the word infinite means. And God is infinite. I have limitations. Everything is limitations. There's only so much, as much as I love chocolate, and I love chocolate, there's only so much chocolate I can eat. I'm human, right? There's a limit to everything that we do. And he continues and he says, for most of their deeds are desolate and the days of their lives are empty before you. How many people really live a life like Moshe, like Moses, our leader, where Moses was such a closeness to Hashem that he spoke to Hashem almost, as the Torah says, like face to face. Whatever that means, God doesn't have a face, obviously, whatever that means. And then it just continues. Now, the Ashkenaz may have a little bit of different wording. So you may have, if you're in the Ashkenaz, have a little bit of a different translation than what I'm going to be reading here. But I'm just going to be reading, by the way, what I am reading, I sent as a PDF a few weeks ago on the chat. The preeminence of man over beast is non-existent, for all is vain, except for the pure soul that is destined to give justification and reckoning before the throne on the day of glory. So we discussed, my friends, what's the difference between an animal and a human? You may ask, what kind of a question is that? Well,
cutlery.
Right. Monkey doesn't eat with cutlery. And we discussed that for the most part, animals and humans are very similar. We both procreate. We both need to eat and drink and
sleep.
Sleep. and we are both born, we both die. It's the end of the day, for the most part, we're sort of the same thing. A little bit shorter, a little bit longer. So some people die a little shorter, some people die a little bit later. You know, some people eat a little bit more, some people eat a little bit less. Some people eat with their fingers, some people eat with cutlery. So what then becomes the difference?
Speak.
So, somebody say something?
Yes, I said the difference is that we were given the power of speech.
Right. So a little bit more than speech, is we call it the intellect. The intellect, the ability to think. And with that comes the ability of speech. So we have certain, but he says, but even in that, to an extent, animals speak between themselves. Animals, there is the animal kingdom. Okay, so they don't build houses and but they build their own shelters. They exist plenty well. If there wouldn't be a human on the planet, the animals would exist. They continue to exist. You go to a place, go to the jungle, very few humans. The animal kingdom is alive and well. So he explains, what's the real difference between animals and humans? And he says here, except for the pure soul that is destined to give justification and reckoning before the throne of your glory. The main difference between animals and humans is that because of our free choice, our soul will go, we have a special soul that will be judged in heaven for the choices that we make. When a person passes away, soul goes to heaven, and they say, what did you do with your time in this world? The animals don't have to worry about that. The animals work on instinct. They do what they got to do. They're born a certain way. They live a certain way. They act a certain way. They will die a certain way. They will go to heaven. You've fulfilled your purpose. A human will be asked questions. Did you do this? How did you fulfill your days? What enriched your life? Desires of this world? Or desires of connection with Hashem. Now that you're here, now that you see the truth, we're going to be asked, what drove you to do things in this world? Did you do kindness and acts of kindness? So that becomes the difference between animals and humans. The difference becomes that we have a soul that will be judged at the end of the day for the things that we've done, because we do have greater capabilities than that of animals. We don't necessarily affect the outcome either. The animals don't affect the outcome. They just, you know, continue to exist. It's the next generation just goes on, family, family, family. Humans do the same thing. Next generation, next generation, next generation. We talk about, my ancestors 200 years ago, they lived here, there, but now I'm 200 years later. So now it's our turn, ladies and gentlemen, you and I, it's our turn to exist on this planet. In a few years, it won't be our turn. It'll be the next generation's turn, whoever that's going to be, that's going to run the world. So what's going to be with, now that I'm here, what good use am I making of my time on this planet? That's what we're talking about. Questions, comments so far before I go on? All right, let me finish this.
This is a good anecdote to self-realization.
Yeah, exactly. So he says, all the nations as if they are non-existent before you. As it is said, behold, the nations are like a bitter drop from a bucket and are reckoned like copper dust rubbing off a scale. Behold, he will cast away the islands like dust. Which means that Hashem is so all-powerful, anything can happen. Hashem created the world. Yes, if I'm a contractor and I'm a builder, I can build a house. I can build a building. Whoa, there's a certain strength. That man built a building, the skyscraper, the CN Tower. I'm the one who built the CN Tower. Oh, move away from, make place for this guy. But which is a noble thing, which is a good thing. But that's not everything. And even that person had to come onto the concrete person to make the concrete, had to come onto the elevator people to make the elevator, had to come onto the stair people together, and had to come onto the electrical people to get, even that. Maybe you were the designer, maybe you were the architect, you still had to come on to others. God didn't have to come on to others. God has the ability to do everything by himself. So all we're doing here basically in this opening paragraph is recognizing the awesomeness of God. That's what this is about. And if God is awesome, maybe that takes the awesomeness that I thought about me, that I'm awesome, I'm handsome, I'm pretty, I'm strong, I'm capable, I have all these talents, talented. Just putting all that into perspective. Pretty good, huh? All right. Adam likes it. I liked it. It's good. All right. Questions or comments? Thank you. All right. So top of 31, or continuing on. That's in the Sfard. Continuing on. No question. But we are members of your covenant. We being the Jewish people. Well, I didn't bring you the other page. Oh, I'm sorry. I finished the page. I didn't photocopy the. The other photocopies are in the office on the table.
That's where we require to say Shmo.
Right. But we are members of your covenant, children of Abraham, your beloved, to whom you took an oath at Mount Moriah, the offspring of Isaac, his only son, who was bound atop the altar, the community of Jacob, your firstborn son, who became the love of which you adored him, and the joy which you delighted in him, you named Yisrael and Yeshua. So then, now in this paragraph, we're just talking about where we come from. Who are we? Who are we? My friends, so often I take the opportunity and I will look at somebody. Very often a person comes in and they're not doing well, whatever it is that's going on in their life. And I will look at the person straight in the eyes and I'll say, who are you? And they'll look back at me, usually with a blank stare, and they'll go, what do you want to know? I'm me. No. Who are you? You want to know my name? I said, no, I didn't ask your name. I want to know who you are. You want to know where I'm from? I said, I didn't ask where you're from. I want to know who you are. Who are you? The best answer is, I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know who I am. That's the best answer. That's the fairest answer, unless we've already been there, we've learned, right? We talked about it, right? But the fairest answer, the most truthful, we talked about truth at the beginning, the most truthful answer when I ask a person, who are you? I don't know. I'd like to find out who I am. And most people have low self-esteem or anxiety issues or various issues in life because they don't know who they are. And so much about what I teach here at the Chai Center is about telling you or teaching you who you are. And the answer is this paragraph right here. You know who we are? We are children of God. We are a child of Hashem, children of Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Our patriarchs, those are the first Jews in the ancestry of Jews on the planet. That's who we are. We are a child of God. Now, every human is really a child of God. We are a little bit different in that the fact that we have come from Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And what makes them different is that's what this paragraph, because they were special. Abraham was the first Jew on the planet. Not even the firstborn Jew. He converted. Him and his wife, Sarah.
Yes,
he developed monotheism. That's correct. But that doesn't make you Jewish. Once he developed monotheism, he became worthy of Hashem saying, I will make a covenant with you. And with him and his wife, Sarah, they converted and became the first Jews. The firstborn Jew, Jew born of a Jewish mother, was Isaac. Yes.
Hashem actually talked to Abraham.
The Torah tells us.
Is that what they say? Yeah.
It says. Yes.
So it wasn't it's just funny because
the whole time I was down, we say, God, listen to us in the merit of our forefathers.
Correct.
This is a tefillah that says to you, really, because you come from this place, it is incumbent upon you to sing the praise to God.
That's
so
right.
This is your responsibility that's because correct. You've come from this stock.
That's correct. And that's why I talked about it when I showed everyone the beginning of the Amidah, the Shemoneh Esrei. What's the first blessing of the Shemoneh Esrei? The Avos. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avraham. Who are we? Why do I have the right to approach God? You know why? Because I got schlepped. I'm somebody who comes from a very distinguished lineage of Abraham. The Jewish people come from a very distinguished lineage. Hashem made a covenant with your ancestor. We have a right to appeal directly to Hashem. That's where we come from. Yes.
Can I skip over the part about all the sissies? I don't have to do that, do I?
We're not there. Ask me when it's relevant, please. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, if you have questions on what we're learning about here, if you have questions on what we're doing now, I'm happy to take them. So, just to understand, and sometimes it's, you know, people don't recognize. Where and they don't have that appreciation of our lineage, of where we come from, and we appeal to our lineage. We're going to stop here, but I'm just going to end with in the story of Tisha B'Av, when the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash was burning, the Medrash, the rabbis teach us that the various forefathers and our matriarchs and patriarchs came and pleaded before Hashem to put out the fire of the temple. By the way, make sure you come here tomorrow night at 7:30. We're going to talk about Tisha B'Av. It'll be a very, as strange as it may sound, a very positive message for a very mournful day, but a very positive message. But they all came, and Abraham said, in my merit, you should put out the fire. And the rabbis, the Talmud, that the rabbis teach us that, you know, in whose merit it was that the fire stopped? In the merit of Rachel, I mean, Rachel. Rachel, one who was married to Yaakov. She said, when it came time for me to get married, and my father replaced me with my sister Leah, I didn't say anything. On the contrary, I gave my sister the key, so to say, or the passwords, the ability to get, you know, to make sure that it's me, because Yaakov knew, had an inkling that maybe something was going to go on. And in that merit, and I did not think about myself. Hashem, you have to put out the fire for the Jewish people, and he did. Rachel Mevaka Albaneha. Those of you who go to Rachel's tomb in Bethlehem, in Beis Lechem, that's what it says on her tombstone. very, very special place to go. Unfortunately, I hardly went anywhere this trip, so I did not make it this time. But anyway, to close, just wanted to mention that we all need to recognize who we are, where we come from. We are all a child of Hashem. We all have the right. I'm not the child of a monkey. There's a famous story of a great rabbi who met an atheist. And I think it was, I can't remember the story exactly. I think they were in the hospital together, and the atheist didn't have anybody who came to visit him. And the rabbi was constantly having visitors, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren coming visit him. And one day the atheist says to the rabbi, "I don't understand. You can't believe you have so many people that are coming and visiting you. I don't have anybody coming and visiting me." So the rabbi explained to him, listen to this. The rabbi says, "I'll tell you, the difference between you and me is that you think that we came from monkeys. So for you, so your children think that you're one step away, you're going further and further away from what was, you know, from something that was, you're less than what the original one. And we're going, no, we're one step greater. Every previous generation was one step closer to God because we believe we come from God. So we're going in opposite directions. So my children look up at me because I look up at my parents and my previous generation and because we aspire to God." You have nobody you're aspiring to, monkeys? Your children don't want to come and come and visit you to someone who is, and who's your ancestor, a monkey, a dinosaur, this and that, and then a bang, this and that. That's nothing. So why should they come and visit you? And anyway, that was a little anecdote that the rabbi told the atheist. So recognize who you are. Recognize who we are. Recognize that we're special people. Recognize that we have a special relationship with God in heaven. And we have a right to approach God, because at the end of the day, he is the top of the line. Mass, and as we began tonight, master of all worlds, Lord of all lords. Any final questions or comments? Okay, so thank you all for joining. Just very quickly about tomorrow night. So we're here tomorrow night, 7:30. We're going to talk about Tisha B'Av, this fast day that begins tomorrow night at 8:47. So we'll be on from 7:30 to 8:30. I will answer your questions, directions, whatever it is that you need. Tomorrow night will be on Zoom only. In the meantime, I'd like to thank you all who came live here. Thank you so much for joining me here in my backyard in this beautiful evening. Wishing you all a great evening. Thank you so much.
Happy Easy Fast.